The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a really, really powerful gospel that we have in front of us. Whenever we see Jesus's healing work, there's more than something that moves the heart. I want to get into, there are any number of ways that the passage instructs us, or there are any number of things that we have to understand about the passage, I think, in order to kind of tap into the beauty and the truth and the goodness that is on offer to us in it. I think the first thing is, you know, our mind is drawn to the fact of 10 being cleansed and only one returning. And we see certainly the movement of the heart that allows the one to return. And the Jesus thinks himself is quite remarkable, gratitude. Yeah, but he makes comment also about the fact that a Samaritan, a hated Samaritan, by the way, returns, and the 9 Jews do not. And what's going on there is some foreshadowing of the fact of Jesus's rejection by his own, his total, complete rejection by the quote-unquote people of God. When we see that he is journeying to Jerusalem, he's journeying, he's looking towards, he's embracing his passion and his death. And in his journey to Jerusalem, as it happens, it's not necessarily that he's being rejected out of hand by the Jews, but they're not grasping everything that is on offer. And if they were grasping it, then they too would have hearts of gratitude. But what we see when Jesus heals the 10 and one returns, what we have to understand is that God's purposes will be brought to completion. Jesus has come to restore and renew the people of Israel. It's through them that God's grace, his life of blessing, his forgiving and merciful love is to extend to every corner of creation. But if they don't embrace it as they should, as the 9 healed do not, then God's purposes will still be accomplished. His merciful love will still go out to every corner of creation. And I think this gives us heart, knowing that God's purposes will be fulfilled, that God will keep his promises, and that we have an opportunity then to participate in the great plan of God. But the plan of God will not be held up because of our infidelity, unworthiness, and all the rest. His plan advances and will come to completion. But Jesus is, when the next kind of swipe at things is that Jesus is right to see in the one who returns, he's right to remark on gratitude. And why is it that Jesus draws our attention, draws the crowd's attention to this particular movement of heart that he sees in the one and is right to see lacking in the other 9? Well, gratitude is simply, at least in this way, is simply our participation. It's a sign of our participation in the life of God. It's our participation in the life of Christ. Remember, it's not the lepers are healed by nothing other than the love of God made flesh for them in Christ Jesus. They're healed by Jesus' own life. And so having received that life, we would expect to see gratitude as a characteristic of that life taking root in the particular person. It's been on my mind, I think, for probably 4, 5, 6 weeks, gratitude, and not because I am recognizing all the ingratitude in myself, but because I'm seeing just how Jesus's life was marked by gratitude. And I want us to think of the Eucharistic prayer. What do we hear? On the night before he suffered, he took bread and, giving thanks, he said the blessing. This is a time of extraordinary anguish for Jesus. He's in a room with people who are going to desert him. One of his friends who's going to betray him. And he knows very well what's coming next. His horrible death, right? His death on the cross. And what does he do in the moments immediately preceding? He gives thanks to Almighty God, right? So if he's giving thanks to God, his Father, at that time, I mean, we can rest assured that his whole life is one of thanksgiving to God for what God is accomplishing in him and through him and as him, right, as Jesus. So we would expect then to see, just as we saw in the verse before the gospel here, in all things, in all circumstances, give thanks, from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. In all things, give thanks. Because if we have the life of Christ at work in us, then we would expect to be able to give thanks no matter where we are and because that's Jesus's life. And we are living now Jesus's life. I want to just make one, it's not that quick. I was going to say quick. Well, I'm going to make one more swipe at it to kind of give you like a parallel track to understand how significant this passage can be for us. And I'll say, like, we are the leper. Yeah, we are the leper. And it's not like our bodies are falling apart and we're losing bits and pieces of, but sometimes it feels like our lives are falling apart, right? And sometimes we have the heavy burden of our heart. This cry of the lepers together is our cry. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. It's one of the reasons why I like the tropes at the beginning of Mass, in place of the Confiteor. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have pity on us. Master, have pity on us. You came to call sinners. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Right? We're crying out to God. We're crying out to God because we find ourselves heavy burdened, broken, wounded, and we know that Jesus has what we need. Jesus has the strength of God's love, we know, is all we need. To be wrapped up again in God's plan is what we need. Then, okay, so I'm doing the parallel tracks, right? The passage, and what am I doing? The Mass. This is the Mass. So we see here then, of course, we go to Jesus and we throw ourselves down before him. In fact, we offer to God through and with and in Jesus the sacrifice of our lives, just as the leper did. He found himself reconciled to God, and he then made the sacrifice of his whole life to him. And making and returning in gratitude, we also offer the Eucharist, which itself means thanksgiving, right? The greatest act of gratitude, the greatest act of thanksgiving that ever was, we make that offering also with our lives. And then what do we hear? What do we hear at the end? We hear, go forth, the Mass is ended, right? What was it that Jesus said to the leper, to the cured leper? He said, having been raised up, having risen, go forth. So we here in the Mass, we participate in Jesus' own life. We receive, again, a full share of Jesus' life. And having ourselves, offering ourselves, sacrificing ourselves to God, having given ourselves over to God, we likewise are raised up so that we can go forth and raise up God's fallen world.